Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And today is a Conversations with Carol show. And what that means is there's really no specific topic. We're just going to be chatting about different things. I'll be answering your questions, sharing my medical intuitive skills. Of course, we can always deal with health issues that maybe you're dealing with or a loved one or a family member is dealing with. Or we can just talk about any topic that you would like to be able to, you know, just get some insight. I received an email from the other day from a listener that basically said to me, you know, Carol, who are these higher beings that everybody talks about? Esther Hicks talks about them being Abraham, and they've been called Jacob, and Sonia Chiquette calls them the emissaries, and I call them the Melchizedeks. Who are these beings? And what I said to in the email to her is that these beings are 12 non-physical beings, meaning that they're souls who have never been in form, and they're really chartered by this greater consciousness that we're all seeking to find, this enlightened consciousness, being able to come in and just share information with us and to be able to help us assist us in touching our inner guidance. And they keep reminding us that everything that we know and we need to know about how to be able to survive and be able to do our soul work really lies within us. So questions like that, we can talk about angels, we can talk about the guides, we can talk about any topic that you have. So that's what today's flavor of the show is going to be. If you do have a question for me, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for the U.S. and Canada, and then also international callers. But of course, you do need to call your international, dial in your international calling code. Before you dial the number, 877-230-3062. Also, I would like to remind you, excuse me for the, I had to kind of change my vibration here. Woo-woo! I would like to remind you that I do now have available on my website my audio downloads of my Your Health teleclass that I just did last week. The topic was high blood pressure. Had a tremendous response. A lot of listeners on the call when I was doing the overview of high blood pressure. But those audio downloads and then also a printable PDF download, 26 pages in length, are both available for purchase now. If you want to go to my website, www.ritberger, RITBERGER.com, go to the What's New section. You'll see it at the top of the list. Click on it. Then you'll be able to purchase it right online. But before you do, you can actually, we have a feature there that you can have a sneak preview of what is going on at the time and listening to it and being able to just get a brief synopsis of what it sounds like in an audio version. And then also the type of information that's provided in the PDF. So again, if you are suffering from high blood pressure or you know someone that is and you'd like to share this information as a medical intuitive, I really look at it from a holistic perspective. I approach it from what conventional medicine identifies it. Also, I look at the psychological roots behind it so we can heal a lot of our thoughts, change our attitudes. What does it look like in the energy field? What chakras are involved in the dynamics of the illness itself? What role does your personality play in increasing your susceptibility to high blood pressure or any other illness for that matter? And then I have a laundry list of alternative choices that you can consider in working with high blood pressure. There, of course, is conventional medication that you can take. But one of the things that I found in the research very, very interesting is that specifically in high blood pressure, we can actually treat it by using different alternative choices, salt, reducing salt intake, 30 minutes a day of aerobic exercise. There's things, flaxseed oil. There's different herbs that we can take, hypnotherapy, learning stress management. So those are the type of things that I really kind of look at from that alternative standpoint. And then we can actually manage high blood pressure, especially in the developmental stages, by doing just some lifestyle changes. Now, if we do develop high blood pressure and it's actually tied to a malfunction of an organ or a gland such as the kidneys and so forth, then what we may be forced to do is to go on medication. However, in combination with the medication, you can do the alternative choices, and then it makes it easier for you to manage it. It also can reduce the amount of medication. So again, a very holistic perspective of high blood pressure. So that PDF and audio download is available on my website at www.ritberger.com. Lots to catch up on. Also, I'm going to be posting my brand new channeling. That is basically what I do the first of every year, is looking at a channeling and kind of what is the theme and the flavor of the year. And this year of 2011 is finding your own way. And it's all about inner guidance and intuition and listening to the messages to your body and paying attention to those thoughts. So if for any reason you're not in my email list, because that's how I'm going to be sending it out, go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And then what you can do is just go to the contact tab, submit the information. I don't sell or let anybody else borrow my email list at all. But if you would like to receive the channeling, then that's the best way to do it. And then also the channeling is a gift from the guides. And while it is copyrighted in the words and everything, I really do encourage you to share it with your friends, because there's some very powerful insight as to what 2011 is going to be for us individually and collectively, and how can we individually and collectively reach those moments and learn to sustain those moments of that enlightenment consciousness. So again, www.ritberger.com. Well, what I want to do before I jump in and take calls, thank you, I've got lines that are lighting up like crazy, but one of the things that I thought it might be helpful to share also is that this last month in January, and the readings that I've been doing and all over the world, I just did one from India yesterday, the theme is still the same. And one of the questions that came up over and over and over again, specifically this month, I've heard it before, but every reading that I did this month, this was the same common question. Why do I feel so alone? Why do I feel like I'm doing my work without any kind of support? And one of the things that I found in that consistent question was the consistent theme that really what we're being asked to do is we're moving into this self-realized consciousness that Maslow talks about in the self-realization. What we're really doing is we're having to move beyond those parts of us that look outside of ourselves to not feel alone. We'll do it in relationships with friends, family, with loved ones, partners, spouses. But this time is all about going in and connecting with ourselves at a deeper level. And in that depth of that level, whether we're doing meditation or guided imagery, we're just sitting in a quiet, still place with really no purpose at all other than to just be quiet and be contemplative and so forth. When we touch that inner part of who we are, then we start to realize how alive we are, how much information we have, how much insight we have, how many of the answers that we've been looking outside for are really already held within us. When we go into that quiet space and we find that we touch ourselves, then it's easier for our guides and our angels and all of the beings on the other side, the souls that are no longer informed, to be able to support us and help us and to be able to dialogue with us. Now, that may not come in the form of how our humanness relies on communication. Maybe it comes in the form of dreams. Maybe it's an image. Maybe it's an epiphany. Maybe it's a buzz. Maybe it's goosebumps in your body. But they do know how to communicate with us. And when we get to a place where we send out the message, I'm lonely, I'm really feeling alone, but it has this different vibration to it than all of those on the other side that are in soul form and light form are there to be able to support us. They're there to remember us, to help us remember we really aren't alone, that everything that we seek is energy, and that if we ask without the limitations of the human mind, meaning the self-doubt or the questioning or the part of it where we're afraid, and we can just relinquish all of those different emotions and those fears that we have, even for a brief momentary second, then what will occur is then we will be able to touch the vastness, the greatness, and the love of the universe. And then being alone we realize we're never really alone, that we always have all the support that we need. We have all the time that we need to do our work, that we always have others who are feeling the same way in human form. And we're sending out this vibrational call to help or to be of service. And then we connect with someone, lo and behold, in a compassionate, loving way, they will be there with us and say, you know, I understand that. I feel alone also. So when you're looking at this loneliness that you may be feeling, the one thing that I consistently found from the insight from the souls, the people's soul that I read, their guides, their angel, is if you feel alone, then look inside and touch that heart of who you are. Connect with your higher self. Then you can hear and feel and see through images all the vastness, the greatness, and the love of the universe. And then as a result, you will really come to remember that you're never alone. So again, it didn't make any difference whether it was from India or it was Singapore or South Africa where I did readings, or if it was the United States. It didn't make any difference. This is a common theme that all of us are feeling. And it really is part of this preparation energy of 2011 that says to us, you have an inner core of who you are that is wise beyond your complete knowing of your conscious mind. If you touch that part, if you ask, if you listen, then you will find your answers, and you will also realize you're never alone. So I thought that that would be kind of a perfect way for us to move forward today and so forth as we're going into this energy, and today and tomorrow and the rest of this year and 2012, 2013, and on, is to remember that you're always loved, you're always supported, and that you're not the only one that graces this earth that is feeling, is it me? Am I the only one out here that's feeling this way? Am I the only one that's out here doing the work? And why does this have to be so hard? Because I feel so alone. So when you send out that message, I'm going to be one of those vibrational receptors that are going to receive your message. And I'm going to relate to it, humanist. And I'm going to think, you know, my gosh, I'm not the only one that feels this way. And then in that particular process, then I'll be able to connect at a vibrational level, support you in the work that you do, in the love that we have for each other, and that vibrational connection. You will support me in the work that I do. And then you know what? Eventually, and very, very quickly, with all the help that we have, we're going to reach that place of enlightenment. And it will be those brief moments with grace and stillness and reverence, and those parts of us that will want to look in the mirror and go, you know, Carol, really, go girl, you really are good. And it isn't about not being humble. It's just about acknowledging that we really are very magnificent beings. So common theme, common question, and I wanted to start out by sharing that. Let me go in and jump in now and start taking calls. Hi, Pamela from Texas, line one. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Oh, well, thank you for taking my call, Carol. It's so nice to hear your voice. I haven't been able to listen to you for a while.
Well, thank you.
My daughter is young and running around, and she has signs of epilepsy. And, she's even gone as far as been driving and had a complete seizure and run into a house. She was okay. So was the person right with her. But her father has taken her to Mexico to get her some prescription drugs. I know nothing about these. Mm-hmm. Of course, it throws her system, you know, way out of, you know, she's not used to being drugged.
Correct.
I would like your thoughts on, and now she, it interrupted her school, her college work, and so now she's out trying to make just it on her own, and it's scary as all Dickens.
Scary.
And at first she was like a little bulldozer. When she would start to jerk a little bit, she would just keep going right on through it, almost pretending as if nothing was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think that she has had enough that maybe she has changed her mind and she's wanting to pay attention. And what direction do you feel she should go into to help her body take care of itself?
All right. The first thing that, and I'm going to use you, Pamela, kind of is what I call a surrogate. So you just heard me clear my throat. So all my listeners, you know what that means, is that I'm having to go me to you, to your daughter, but I have an interference of your husband.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so I have to kind of, that clearing the throat was like, okay, let's push his vibration out of the way so I can see clearly what's going on with your daughter. There are a couple of things, is that she does need to be on medication. The seizures do tend to be coming much more, consistent, meaning that she's having more episodes than she did. There's a couple of things, though, that the seizures don't feel like really what I would call epileptic seizures from the standpoint of how we would clinically classify them. I do understand that they're seizures. I understand the workings of the mechanism of the brain that would cause it to look like epilepsy. There's a couple things that I would look at. First of all, she does need to be on medication. The second part of it is her diet needs to be really visited. I think a lot of what she can manage in her seizures, to the extent in which she gets them and frequency, then could be also looked at from a nutritional standpoint. There's been some changes from how she's been eating in the last couple months. It seems like that's aggravated the problem, is what I'm picking up. The other thing that I'm picking up is that she has a serotonin dopamine imbalance. So what we have is we have neurotransmitters that are also out of balance. That's what I am picking up, that is giving her kind of these highs and lows. What you're dealing with is not bipolar, but what you're dealing with is a chemistry change in her body that occurs that sets off a chain reaction. That chain reaction can lead to seizures. That's why it may look like, sound like epilepsy, but I just am not getting an absolute clear read that is exactly what we're dealing with, from the standpoint of the fact that it's later in life as far as the onset of it. And so there's other things that are obviously triggering it. So from the medication standpoint, you know, I'm not anti-Mexico at all. There's been some tremendous work that has been done down there. But I can tell you are, that you don't have enough information. And as a result, this part of it is leaving you in the dark. You're feeling helpless around it. That's one of the things that your husband seems to always do, is he kind of, excuse me for saying it, but he railroads you into having to do things, accept things. And one of the things that I would have you do, sweetie, is I would go in and do some research. Look at epilepsy. Again, I cannot get a clear read. That's what it is. Look at it. Look at what might trigger it. There's been a tremendous amount of research about nutritional changes with it. Also, look at the type of medication that is available, so you can be a part of the process of understanding what she's on, what kind of side effects will there be. So if she calls and she's afraid and she can't get her answers anywhere else, then you can become a resource for her.
Okay.
So
She had taken a lot of Dilantin, and that's what he had taken at one time.
Correct.
And then I read in Hawaii, where they noticed that there were a lot of people with seizures going on, and they were taking Dilantin, and that Dilantin ended up having aspartame in it, of all things.
It does.
I told him, I said, Amber, I said, my goodness, let's don't do this. You don't need any more cytotoxins and all this other stuff, you know.
Exactly.
And may I ask you, you had that wonderful lady, Sherry Edwards, on.
Yes.
And I know, I feel certain that I can find, as far as immediate help for my daughter, possibly to utilize some of Sherry's methods.
Absolutely.
Do you feel a positive input on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Reach out, because what it is when I picked up the nutritional change, and you're absolutely accurate with the aspartame, and when I picked up the nutritional component of it, one of the things that has been consistently revealed, especially working with younger children, meaning up to about 12 years old, is their diet and their nutrition, the artificial sweeteners, the high levels of corn fructose, all of those things seem to be a significant contributor to the chemistry imbalance that can trigger the changes. I would definitely, because of where your daughter is and changing kind of her own, she's outgrowing the personification that she's had as a little girl, and she's mm-hmm. becoming her own individual. But I would reach out to Sherry, also send an email, you know, suggesting that, telling her that you and I talked, that we thought vocal profiling would be able to really help her. Sherry's very, very skilled at what she does, and then she can offer a lot of insight as well. Now, mm-hmm. the issue, sweetie, very bluntly, whether it's me or Sherry or even a doctor in the United States, your husband tends to railroad, and if he thinks that what he's doing is the best, then you're going to get to have the opportunity to find your voice, and you can either go head-to-head with him, or you can go directly to Amber. So that's part of, this is part of the dynamics of the dance that you're doing with your husband, yeah. is that it's important for you to be heard as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He's got the money, so, you know, that's what it is.
That's, well, you know what? In this particular case, he's got the money. He's helping her with it. So, you know what? Rejoice, celebrate. At least he's trying to do what he needs to. But if your alarms go off or you think something that can work, then this is your opportunity to come in and find your voice as well.
You betcha. Well, thank you so very, very much. I will.
You're welcome.
I'll sing my song.
Good girl. I like that. And when you reach out to Sherry, tell her that Carol Reitberger said hello. Love her work and everything. And she is. She's a magnificent. I'm going to try to get her back on the air. Our schedules just haven't coordinated. So thanks very much, Pamela.
I so hope so. And I love your new site. I haven't been able to be around, and your site is just beautiful. I just clicked on it, and it's just gorgeous.
Well, thank you
for being you, and blessings to you, my lady. I appreciate you.
Well, very, very nice. Wow, what a great way. See, we're never alone. We have beautiful listeners and people that just connect with us at that heart level. Hi, Barbara from Minnesota. Let's go ahead and jump in and take your call.
Ah, thanks, Carol. Good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
I'm calling about my neck and shoulder locking up on me. I don't know if it's due to an injury I had about 4.5 years ago, or if I'm stuck in some pattern I need to shift out of.
Well, I'm gonna start out physically, honey. It is due to the injury, but more importantly, the injury has caused your spine to literally get what I call these little torques in it in three different places. Neck, thoracic vertebrae 6 and 7, just below the shoulder blades and down at L1, L2. So what has happened over the course of the time since the injury is that your muscles have done exactly what they need to. They're trying to keep your spine as straight as possible to protect the spinal cord and, of course, all the nerves. So from that standpoint, the muscles have really helped you in being able to not re-injure. The problem is that they've forgotten that they can move and they can have flexibility. So when you get into a place, especially when you sit, that's when I find that you're most prone to being to having these little torques in the vertebrae itself kind of lock up from a muscular standpoint. When you sit, I can find you sitting cockeyed, or kittywampus, as my mother used to call it, on one hip. You're actually throwing your right hip forward, pulling your left hip back. You're putting more pressure on the right hamstring than you are the left hamstring. That torque, if you can visualize pulling to the left as if we were doing exercises, you'll notice that when you do, the right shoulder starts to pull forward, but at the same time it drops down. That's what's locking it up. So some things that you could do is that acupuncture would help you. The other thing that you could do is massage. I want to suggest maybe you look at Tramiel, a natural, it's actually a homeopathic cream that you put on for inflammation. You might want to also go in and you may not want to take any kind of over-the-counter, but you might look at Aleve or you might look at Advil. Now, I don't get paid for any of that, but those are the two different non-steroidal over-the-counter drugs that we have that can literally help with the inflammation that can help you. What has happened is in the course of this, when you get into this certain sit position or for any length of time, driving a car, sitting in a chair, your muscles are going to lock up. And then what they're going to do is they're going to lock up that neck.
Right.
So what you can do is work with that. You could look at non-force chiropractic. We don't really need to crack the spine at all. What you are doing is that I'm not sure because of the time to really go in. I can't actually touch what the accident itself, but I can tell you, you were very, very stressed and frustrated prior to the accident. And that you were trying, it feels to me like you were trying, you felt trapped. That's the metaphor for the locked muscles and the shoulder and the neck being locked up. You felt trapped. You felt like you needed to get away. And as a result, you were running from something, looking over your shoulder as if you were trying to find out whether it was chasing you or not. That's the metaphor that I keep picking up around the shoulder itself. So if that rings truth at all, if you just kind of look at where were you prior to the accident from a psychological standpoint, are you repeating any of those fears? Is it a fear of rejection that seems to keep coming up and coming up? Or is it a fear of speaking out? Whatever it may be, look at it from that level. But first and foremost, until we get your mind to stop fixating on your body, it's going to be really difficult to go to those psychological areas.
Okay.
So the other thing,
and then address it on a different level.
Absolutely. Or you know what? Just go in and visualize that kind of that fear, that weight, that running from, that feeling trapped, whatever it may have been. Just see it lifting off your shoulders and do some visualization. Do some affirmations that you might want to be able to just, you know, that your light, your love, your heart, you're worthy of being loved. Whatever it may be, sweetie, come up with an affirmation that you can literally use on a daily basis so you don't feel so trapped. I'm like a broken record, Barbara. But honey, I keep finding you like this wonderful racehorse, this that just wants to run with the wind, kind of like this wild Mustang that just wants to run and enjoy life and buck and have a good time and socialize and be by yourself. But you feel like you're trapped in a pen right now, honey, in a paddock, and that just feels really uncomfortable, whether that's your body or psychologically, that's what I'm picking up. The other thing you can do is you might want to look at going and maybe doing some heat and then some ice. On that particular area, the ice will ask your brain to release an endorphin that really is about the equivalent of 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen. So there's some ways to get rid of the inflammation. That's really what's locking you down, is more the inflammation in the muscles themselves than it is an actual structural issue, even though there is a structural damage.
Okay.
I know.
You nailed it.
Oh, let me tell you, but you know what I heard that sigh? Oh my gosh, I think I could do this.
Well, thank you. Your help.
You're welcome, sweetie. One little baby step at a time.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
I know.
Thanks,
you
Carol.
Are. My pleasure. Light and love to you. Okay, let's go ahead and jump in for a quick commercial break. I'll come back, and I've got a couple more callers on the line. I'll take those callers, and then I've also got some more that are coming in. So stay tuned. I'm going to be right back to do more of the Conversations with Carol show.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now. Toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Hello, and thanks again for joining me. If you are just joining me, I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today's show is a Conversations with Carol show. That means no specific topic. It's just me answering your questions and sharing my medical intuitive skills and us just talking about any topic that you may have an interest in. If you have a call question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S., Canada, and then also international callers. Today is been a day. The first part of the show, I was talking about if you would like to receive the 2011 channeling, go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and go to contact, enter my database, and then we'll be sending that channeling out in very short time. Also, I just did a Your Health teleclass on high blood pressure. I have an audio download and a printable PDF download on high blood pressure. That's available for purchase on my website as well, www.ritberger.com. And then also, I'm going to be posting my March reading dates the first week of February. I was sharing in the first segment how I was talking to people all over the world doing readings, and we had the same common question. Is why do I feel so alone? And then sharing some insight as far as what their guides, their angels, and then also what this consciousness movement of 2011 is all about is the fact that we really aren't alone. We just have to find ourselves within ourselves and connect with the universe. So again, reading dates will be posted the first week of February for March. And then also finally, I'd like to invite you to an event that I'm going to be having in Andover, Massachusetts on April the 9th. I'm going to be on stage with John Holland, a wonderful psychic medium, and then also Lauren Rainbow. I'm going to be having both Lauren and John on my shows. We're going to be talking about the event. The event is called Finding Your Way, Messages from Mind, Body, and Spirit. John is going to be, as a wonderful psychic medium, he's going to be talking about the spirit world and how they connect with us and then are able to support us. Then Lauren is going to be talking about the mindfulness of who we are, the power of positive thinking, meditation, different tools that you can use to get in touch with yourself and your thoughts. And then I'm going to be sharing on how to listen to and interpret the messages from your body. So again, I hope that you'll join me. It's April the 9th in Andover, Massachusetts. You can actually go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then you can click on the link. It'll take you right to the Circles of Wisdom. That is the bookstore in Massachusetts that's sponsoring the event. You can register online, and it will be a lot of fun. The real exciting part is not only will each of us be doing our own segments, but at the end of the day, all three of us are going to be in an open panel and just be able to dialogue with all of your questions and providing insight from each of our skills and everything. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm sure looking forward to it. And it'll be a day that will really help you understand more of who you are. So again, April 9th, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Let's go ahead and jump in and take some questions. Hi, Susan from Wisconsin, line 3. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Hi, Carol. Thanks. About a week ago, I happened to notice what appears to be a small cyst under my left arm around, mm-hmm. like, the armpit area.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you're able to give me any insight on what exactly that might be. And also, a while back, I spoke with you about a fibrocystic breast tissue condition that I have. And
yes.
Over time, I've seen that it's gotten worse as far as the lumps getting firmer and harder, and I was hoping maybe you could give me an update on that.
Okay, and what you have with the cyst under your arm is part of the same dynamics of that, sweetie. I went in, because I saw it on my screen, I went in, and first thing, of course, I always do is, this a lymph node? I got to know. Is this a sebaceous gland? I got to know. But this feels like it's part of the dynamics of that fibrocystic issue that you have in your breast itself. One of the things, let's see, what can we do with that? Let me first of all talk about this particular cyst. This particular cyst is very similar to the other cyst that you have in the breast area, meaning that it started out as a fluid base at that point in time, especially in your cycling. And even though you feel your age, honey, how old are you?
60.
Yeah, I was going to say, you felt like you're beyond the cycling. Easy for me to say afterwards, but I still feel that you're still cycling. Are you doing any kind of hormone replacement?
No.
Or doing? Okay. You're still cycling on it. But what I feel is that these things started out as being gel, liquid base, but over the course of time, the ones that you've had are now becoming semi-solid in the fluid. That means that they have a ganglion mix to them. They become more like little hard marbles. You can kind of roll them and move them around. As long as they can roll and move around, when you work with them, and the same with the one in the armpit, what that's letting you know is that you don't have any kind of little, what they're called, tentacles, basically, or little arms reaching off of it that is taking it to make it turn into a potential for a precancer situation. There's some things that you could do. Edgar Cayce was a firm believer of using castor oil packs on cysts such as you have. Now, the thing is with the cysts that have turned more ganglion, those will most likely stay that way. They feel all benign to me. But what will occur is if they become problematic to you, then they will have to be removed from the body in a lumpectomy. And basically, and then what they'll do, of course, is a pathology test. They have to, anytime any fluid or tissue is removed from the body, there has to be pathology. So if they say, we're going to send this to pathology, don't become alarmed by it. But what they'll do is, in those particular cases, they will most likely have to go in and remove them that way. The one that is under your armpit, and there's still a couple in the breast area itself, still are fluid-based, they could aspirate them with a needle. Edgar Cayce would suggest using castor oil packs to pull the toxins out of the soft connective tissue around all of the cysts themselves. And then also you could do aloe cream. You could talk to a naturopath and see what you could do. These are toxic dump sites. There's different emotions, different situations that you've been in. Each one of these little lumps feel like it has an event attached to it, and that event has a person attached to it. And so if you can go in and just kind of look at, is there a common theme in your life around different events that you struggle with? Maybe it's self-disappointment. Would that work?
Well, yeah, it certainly could. I've experienced some personal losses in my life as well over the last few years, and that may have attributed.
Absolutely. And the disappointment that you may possibly feel, that maybe you just felt like you didn't do enough, or you could have done, or blah, blah, blah. You know,
oh, gosh, you sound just like me now. That's exactly how I feel.
That could have, would have, should have type thing. You know, I always, when I work with cysts, whether they're that fluid-based or gelatinous, I always call them the would, coulda, shoulda, woulda bumps.
Oh.
And so what you can do is just kind of go in and energetically remove the energy around it. Just take one of them and say, okay, I want to encase it with this teal blue, and I want to be able to fill it with full of compassion and love and everything. Now, honestly, that will take away the charge, but the lumps themselves, if they become a problem for you, then what you'll probably need to do, frankly, is just have them removed. And I really, most of them, I would be surprised that a doctor would do that unless they become problematic to where they are bothering you from the standpoint where you can feel them if your arm rubs on them or anything like that. Most of the time, they'll just leave them because of the fact that they're benign.
Okay, or if they're causing some pain.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is it common for me to have the small cyst that just showed up under my left arm and the fibrocystic breast is on my right side?
Yes. With the left arm, the way that it works in the breast area for both male and female, right side energetically is guilt and grief. Left side is disappointment and sadness. So if you've had a lot of loss in your life in many, many different ways, but you coulda, woulda, shoulda yourself, then that could be part of the fibrocystic. Now, this is from an energetic perspective. This isn't psychological. This isn't the actual physical process of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do it first of all. So we could have the grief, we could have the guilt that, you know, you had to, that you grew up with, then you can turn and get disappointed in yourself because maybe you didn't do enough or whatever it may have been, the coulda, woulda, shoulda. And then you can get sadness. And the way it energetically I read the cyst is that cysts start out in fluid form from the standpoint that they're just in the process of giving us a chance to be able to really just dissipate whatever it is that is causing us to create these little cysts. And then once it we hang on to that too long, then what it does is then it gets hardened. Our perception, our attitude is this is hard, that we just can't seem to get a grip on it. That's another metaphor that I get. So I use a lot of metaphors with them. Mm-hmm. From the physical standpoint, your body is one of these bodies that tends to hormonally create these buildups in the tissue itself that causes the tissue to become predisposed to a fibrocystic disease. And I hate to use that term disease because it sounds like whoa, but that's what the doctors refer to it. But what it is, it's an actual toxin buildup, usually in areas that we have higher concentrations of lymph nodes. That's why it isn't uncommon to be in the breast area. Sometimes it isn't common in the groin, to get them in the groin area or so forth. So that's something that you can, you know, also look at. But I think a naturopath, you might be able to do some things with some topical creams. You might be able to cool your gut down. You might be able to use the castor oil. For some reason, your body kept saying to me, ask her about doing foot baths. Do you do any kind of ionic foot baths?
Foot baths?
Yeah, have you ever heard?
No.
A lot of spas will have you just sit. I mean, it's fabulous. It's called an ionic foot bath. And you literally sit there for 35 to 45 minutes, maybe an hour, depending on whatever practitioner you use. And what it does is it pulls the toxins, the heavy metals. It pulls the toxins from the food, the waste that we're not able to empty from the body efficiently. And it pulls it out through the pores of the skin. So that's something you might look at because your soul and your body kept saying to me, Carol, talk about Epsom salt, talk about ionic foot baths, talk about removing the toxins out through the pores of the skin so they don't build up as cysts in the body. That was just a message that I just got.
And that's I have to find a practitioner that actually does that type of thing. Is that correct?
Yes. What you do is just call a spa. If you have a spa or wellness center around you and, yep. Call and ask if they, one of their services is an ionic foot bath.
Okay.
And what you'll do is you'll sit there, take a wonderful book or magazine, sit there. It'll have wonderful music. It's very, very relaxing. Your feet are in this absolutely fabulous warm water. And you sit there and about a half hour, you look down, and you think, oh my gosh, it's brown, it's gray, it's black, it's this, it's that. All those are all toxins from your body, sweetie, that isn't being able to be eliminated in our naturalness through our liver, through urine, through the stool or anything, and it actually comes out through the pores of the skin. So that's something
that's
that you can
look at. That's what's causing this fibrocystic.
Yes, my sense is from the actual physical aspect is it's too much toxin buildup in your body, and your body has no place, doesn't know how to get rid of it, so it stores it until it can get rid of it. But in that storage, it stays too long, and it becomes ganglion, as it's called.
Will acupuncture help with those, ridding the toxins as well?
Acupuncture will keep your chi moving and keep your vibration, your harmonics of your energy field flowing. Very, very helpful. It will relax the tissue, relax the muscle, but it works at that autonomic vascular system that, you know, those meridians, and that would be very, very helpful to just get your chi flowing freely from the crown all the way down to the bottom of your toes and your feet.
Okay, but to rid the body would actually be the ionic foot bath. That would be the best.
That's
thing.
The first thing. Yeah, your body just keeps saying, just tell her to work on my feet.
Okay. Okay.
Do you have something going on? Do you like your feet rubbed?
Yeah. Well, my feet are always cold, so this is beginning to sound better all the time.
Warm water, quiet.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. Try that with it. But it does feel like that the cyst underneath the arm, Susan, is just very similar to the pattern of what you're dealing with, sweetie, and it does have a benign energy about it.
Okay, great. Well, I really appreciate all your help. Thank you very
much. Well, thank you very much. You have a wonderful day.
All right,
let's take Jeannie from British Columbia. Hi, sweetie.
Hello, Carol. So nice to talk with you.
Well, thank you.
Big warm hugs to you. My heart filled with love when I started listening this morning because your work is so wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You just fill my heart. Thank you for that.
You're welcome, Carol. I want to ask about my daughter and her difficulties with iron. Do you want her name?
Yes, please. Just first name.
Shannon.
Okay.
Shannon.
Go ahead.
She's had some tests where they test storage iron and circulating iron.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been dealing with iron issues for quite a while. And I guess she
yes.
had her storage iron was low at about number 23. And so she was trying to remedy that. And the next, and her circulating iron was also low. The next testing that was done, her storage iron had gone up by 10 times to 230, but her circulating iron maybe had gone up 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
Can you shed any light on this situation for her?
The first thing when you gave me her name is that the metaphor that I picked up with her is that she tends to burn the candle at both ends. And what that means is that she has a lot of activity. She feels like she's very mentally active. She also feels like her body runs very, very quickly. The hormones in her body are running very quickly. She kind of feels like that commercial, that Ever Ready Bunny. Her adrenals are always in a state of activity. Her body never seems to really, and excuse me for saying never seems, that really sounds dramatic, but it never seems to go into that resting state to where the body is able to detox, rejuvenate, revitalize itself the way that it needs to.
Okay.
So that's the first thing that I pick up with her. Now, the reason for sharing that, Jeannie, is the standpoint that her body requires more than maybe another person does with iron, or maybe more rest, or maybe more greens in her diet or reds in her diet. That the approach of, well, I'm like everybody else in your daughter's particular case, that doesn't work. The other thing is that this predisposition that she has is tied to the liver itself. The liver is responsible, of course, for the liver enzymes to be able to help us in the digestive process, the waste management process, but also it is very much a part of the dynamics of the red blood cell count. It's the storage of the iron itself tends to be tied more to the liver. The circulating iron means that the iron that she is building up, her body isn't being able to assimilate it the way that it needs. There's a couple of things that many times when someone is put on any kind of iron at all, again, a one size fits all, but sometimes it has to be an iron. There may be a trial and error point where there has to be an iron that will be tried until she's actually able to absorb it to the point that her body can use it. The other thing that can throw off the iron dynamics within the physical body is the thyroid. If the thyroid is low, there's a couple of things that we don't hear a lot about. Low thyroid can trigger, be part of the contributor to high cholesterol. It can also be a contributor to the dynamics of the liver, and it can be tied to the dynamics of anemia. The other thing that I picked up with her that with the low iron is it's tied also to liver, thyroid, and then thyroid being tied to her menses. Her metabolism is slow. She tends to feels like she has a heavy bleeding cycle. It feels like it's erratic, so that could be a contributor as well. So as you're looking at things that you could suggest to her, then what you could do is look at changing maybe the iron formula that she's on, looking for foods that are naturally rich in iron that her body will naturally be able to absorb, assimilate, utilize the way it needs to. Also, she feels like she does have a low thyroid. She's not quite off the scale, but pretty close to it. That's some of the fatigue that she's been having. I'm not sure if that's low thyroid or if it's low iron. It's kind of a chicken and an egg on that one. And then the other thing is to have her monitor her menses cycle to chart the blood flow, the heaviness, look at the quality of it. So there's three different aspects of what could be contributing to this iron issue that she has. And I would just kind of start where your intuition tells you and then move through that checklist and have those things checked out and see if anything is going on in those other areas.
All right. That's great. That's very helpful. I'll get her to listen to what you said when it's up on. She can get the full thing herself and
very good. This will actually, we use, if the show's on Wednesday, we post the show to the archives where it can be downloaded or we listen to usually the following, that Friday. So Wednesday and Friday, those are the dynamics.
Great. That's wonderful.
Thank you. So the other thing is she's a very, very busy person inside. So maybe the last thing I just kind of want to throw in there is it might be kind of helpful if she does a little bit of mindful time and quiet time.
I will talk to her about that. Yes, I will. Shake my finger at that girl.
Oh, give her loves. I'll tell you, she is here to change the world, though, isn't she?
Oh, she's marvelous in what she does. Just totally
she
marvelous.
She is. Yeah. She is. Maybe she just hasn't realized that, you know, there's sometimes we can be of service to others to the point where we just use ourselves up. That's also a metaphor that I always get with iron counts.
Yeah.
We just
kind
of use up our reserves. But thanks, Jeannie. Appreciate you calling me from British Columbia.
Could I have one quick question
yes.
for myself?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I've been noticing I have a negative mindset. Mm-hmm. And my thinking tends to be negative. And I've been watching it for a while and trying to figure out why and what to do about it. Do you have any suggestion on that?
I do. The first thing is I would like to remove the specter of your negative and you're doing something that's wrong or that you're stuck. Those are the things that I pick up with you. My sense is, sweetie, that you have in the last couple years been working a lot on letting go of things. And sometimes for us to go in and to figure out what we need to let go of, we have to revisit those negative attitudes. We have to revisit those negative thoughts. We have to embody them. We have to see how they really distort our perception of ourselves or the perception of life itself. Now, the difference between where you were 2 years ago and where you are now, Jeannie, is yes, I can pick up these negative attitudes and thoughts, but honey, you're not dwelling in it. You're not becoming so enmeshed in them where they're consuming you, where there's that dynamics that you can't seem to push through. I would like to offer a different perception. Maybe you're visiting these because you're ready to change them. Maybe you don't know where to start because you're at a different level of learning. In that resolve process, we have to go back and you have to visit these. You have to look at them. You have to see how they've impacted your life. How are they impacting at this point in time? You have to ask your question, is this really my negative thought or was it someone else's? What created it? And all of those processes that you ask in the evaluation of that negativity allows you to find ways to look for different options, things you can do to change. Maybe it's a negative attitude, something as simple as, you know, the sun comes out, and I know it sounds crazy, but I actually had this happen. This person said to me, you know, every time the sun comes out, I get really negative. And it's like, really? And they said, yeah, and when we went and we really looked at it at a deeper level, they always equate the sun coming out to being really hot. She actually does not like, in fact, she used the word, she hates being hot. So every time the sun came out, then she equated that she's going to get hot. She doesn't like being hot. She's going to stay in the house. Then she doesn't want to get outside. And see how it just kind of builds?
Yeah.
So let's shift it. Maybe you're just revisiting this to find out what in your life at this moment in time that you desire to change.
That is so helpful because I've been doing just as you say. I've been looking at what I've been, the negativity and, mm-hmm. and discovering where it comes from and taking it into a healing place to change it. So
absolutely.
Part of the process. Thank you so much for that clarification.
It is literally part of the process. And when you find that for all of the listeners, and Jeannie, thank you, sweetie. What a great way for us to end the show today. When you find something negative and it just doesn't feel right to you, then step up to it and ask, when did it start? And then even go as far as asking, whose is it? That isn't about blaming somebody because they shared the negativity. But if it's not your negativity and it belongs to somebody else, put it in a healing bag, send it out to the universe. The universe will vibrationally transmute it. Don't carry it. If it's not yours, you don't need to carry it. All that does is burdens us and holds us down. And, you know, we're all like the wind. We all like to move very, very fast. I want to thank all of you for joining me today. And I hope that you'll join me again next week, especially my two callers that are on the line. I'll try to take your calls next week. I've got your names embedded in my memory. Thank you so much. The show will be in the archive coming up on this Friday. Light and love to all of you. Have a wonderful week. I'll see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.